Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Praise God forevermore. Thank God for the word of faith and power. Hallelujah. You're welcome to another episode on the Everyday with Jesus broadcast. Your life will never remain the same. Glory to God. God's word is powerful. It's life-changing. God's word has the ability to change our lives. God's word has the ability to renew our mind, renew our thoughts, to align our will with the will of the Father. Glory be to God. God's word has the ability to totally transform us, to help us live the life we have received, to help us begin to walk in the life we carry on the inside. Thank God for the word of God. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Okay, so we've been studying remission of sins for the past few weeks now, understanding the essence of the work of Jesus. Hallelujah. The forgiveness of sins, remission of sins, as it is taught in the Bible. We made a distinction between Old Testament and New Testament forgiveness. Hallelujah. While the Old Testament forgiveness was all about pardon for sins and offenses and actions, the New Testament forgiveness focuses on the offender. It changes the state of the offender. The man is released from bondage to sin, captivity to sin and the devil and Satan, and is delivered also in the same vein from the penalty and the condemnation of sin. There's a vast difference. Hallelujah. A whole lot of difference. Glory be to Jesus. Forgiveness in the New Testament is a deeper idea or concept. It is not just about your actions, it's about you. Glory be to Jesus. It focuses on the offender. It changes your state. It changes your state. Glory be to Jesus. It changes your state. It's a deeper idea. Hallelujah. It's not merely pardoning or overlooking or condoning your errors of commission or omission. It's about transforming you as a person. It transforms you. So such distinction has been made. Hallelujah. Such distinction has been made so far in this teaching. You may like to lay your hands on all those previous teachings if you've missed out on them. They'll bless you tremendously. Hallelujah. So yesterday we saw how, from Romans chapter 6, we saw how freedom from sin results in justification. Our faith in Christ Jesus, by which our sins are forgiven, results in justification. And then you know what? One thing I said in the beginning, or at the beginning of this series, this particular series on forgiveness, is how we are going to connect the dots. We are going to see how the concepts, the different themes in the Bible, in the New Testament, are interwoven. They are intertwined. They are together, mostly the same things. Hallelujah. Mostly the same things. That is, when you look at scriptures, you find words like sanctification, justification, you find redemption, you find remission of sins, you find, what else now? You find different words, glorification, and then you find different words used to define the salvation fact or reality in Christ Jesus. And then for most people, they just detach those things from themselves. Hallelujah. So you see justification as one thing on its own, then you see salvation as another thing, then you see sanctification as a different thing. You know, that's how comes when people have come up with the idea that there's a second work of grace. Amen. A second work of grace. Which means that after you are saved, you now seek sanctification. But that's not true from scriptures. So we're going to see how these things connect together. We're going to see how these things are together. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. So the result of our freedom from sin is justification. And I said yesterday that the word used at Romans chapter 6, verse 5 to 7, the word freed, as used at Romans 6, 5 to 7, is the word that means to justify. That's the word that is translated justified or justify and justifies altogether 37 times in the New Testament. Justification. So when he says he who has died has been freed from sin, what he's saying in essence is he who has died has been justified from sin. Hallelujah. He's been justified from sin. How does forgiveness mean justification? Well, that's what the Bible teaches. Forgiveness that we have in Christ Jesus is justification from sin. Let me show you how this is taught at Acts 10, 43 to 47. We've seen this scripture before, but let's see it again. Acts 10, 43 to 47. Forgiveness is justification in the New Testament. Justification is just another metaphor used to define salvation in the New Testament. Acts 10, 43 to 44. Bible says, to him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Hallelujah. Whoever believes in his name will receive what? Remission of sins. So, remission of sins is what is taught in this place, right? is what is taught as the benefit of believing. It's what is taught as the benefit of having faith in Christ Jesus. But look at Acts 13. Glory to Jesus. Acts 13, from verse 38 to 39. Bible says, therefore let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. The word forgiveness here is the same word remission. Translated remission at Acts 10, 43, that we just read. So, through this man is preached to you the remission of sins. Verse 39, and by him everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. At Acts 10, 43, it says, everyone who believes receives remission of sins. In this place, it says, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which they could not be justified by the law of Moses. Why? Because remission of sins and justification are the same. Glory to Jesus. They are the same. And that's why I want to clarify this very well today, by showing us from scriptures that when we say we are studying remission of sins, what we are studying in essence is salvation. So because we are about to get into all the metaphors used for salvation, and then before you get confused, I say, I thought we were studying forgiveness. Why are we talking about justification? Why are we talking about sanctification, redemption? Why are we talking about all these things? Why are we talking about propitiation? Why? Because they are all the same. They are virtually the same things. In studying remission of sins, what we are studying is salvation. Look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. What we are studying is what? Salvation. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Bible says, and she will bring forth a son, and she shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Have you seen? You will call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Now, compare that with what Jesus says at Matthew 26, verse 28. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for what? For the remission of sins. Bible says he will save his people from their sins. And Jesus says, my blood is shed for the remission of sins. That's another way of saying, my blood is shed for the salvation of people from their sins. My blood is shed in order to save people from their sins, because remission of sins is salvation from sin. Glory be to Jesus. Remission of sins is salvation from sins. Look at Luke chapter 1 verse 40, Luke chapter 1 verse 77. Hallelujah. Luke 1 77. We've seen this also earlier in the series. Let's see it again. Luke 1 77. Bible says to give the knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins. To give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins. So remission of sins is the knowledge of salvation. Hallelujah. Remission of sins is the knowledge of salvation. So when we talk about remission of sins, what we are studying really is salvation. And when we study salvation, what we are studying is remission of sins. Glory be to Jesus. Many folks cannot connect all the different things together in explaining this singular fact. Salvation is forgiveness of sins, and forgiveness of sins is salvation. Hallelujah. The way God saves a man is by granting him forgiveness of sins. The way God saves a sinner is by extending to them remission of sins. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their sins to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Reconciliation is another word used to explain salvation in the New Testament. Reconciliation, it's another theme. It's another metaphor. And it's the same. Hallelujah. So you see, but all those different words serve to better explain or to further expound on this reality. Such that when you study remission, when you study justification by faith, you should see it as a further expounding on the concept of remission of sins. It's another explanation of remission of sins. It helps you to better understand remission of sins. When you study sanctification, it helps you to better understand remission of sins. They are all explaining the same concepts. Glory be to Jesus. And that's exactly how to see these things. Remission of sins is salvation, and salvation is remission of sins. Glory to Jesus. Look at Acts 26, verse 18. Acts 26, verse 18. Glory to God. Acts 26, verse 18. So look at what Jesus says to Paul at Acts 26, 18. We've seen this at different times in this teaching. The Bible says to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, which is an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Hallelujah. You see, it doesn't say that they may receive salvation. It says that they may receive remission of sins or forgiveness of sins. But then the man that is forgiven is considered to be saved. Hallelujah. Because remission of sins is the same as salvation. Praise God. So we can reread that to mean that they may receive salvation from sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. That they may receive salvation from sins is the same as that they may receive forgiveness of sins, because they are the same. Hallelujah. The forgiven one is the saved one. That they are one and the same. Because the mission of Christ is salvation from the beginning. The mission of Jesus is to save. And he saves by the remission of sins. The mission of Christ, I'll repeat, is salvation, is to save. And he does this by the remission of sins. John chapter 3 verse 17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That the world through him might be saved. And how does he save the world? Hallelujah. How does he save the world? 2 Corinthians 5:19 again. That's exactly how he saves the world. To wit, that God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their sins to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So he saves the world by the remission of their sins. He saves the world by not imputing sins and trespasses to them. He saves the world by forgiving men their transgressions. Hallelujah. Have you seen? By releasing men from bondage to sin and Satan, and delivering men from the condemnation and the judgment of sin. Glory be to God. So that's exactly how Jesus saves. His mission is salvation, and he saves by the remission of sins. So Jesus' mission is singular, to save. And he does this by what? By the remission of sins. Look at Matthew 18, verse 11. The mission of Christ is to save. So the study of remission of sins is a study of salvation. Matthew 18, verse 11. Hallelujah. Matthew 18, 11. Bible says, for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. The Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Hallelujah. The Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. That's the mandate of Jesus, I told you. That's his mandate. That was his mission. Glory be to Jesus. That was his mission, to save that which is lost. And he does this saving by what? By the remission of sins. Glory be to God. So you see, you need not be confused. You don't see the word remission of sins, or the phrase remission of sins, or the word forgiveness in the New Testament as the essence of Jesus' death and resurrection. And then elsewhere you see the word salvation, saved, redemption, and you are wondering if they are two different things entirely. No, it's the same. Salvation is remission of sins. Remission of sins is salvation. Hallelujah. Look at Luke 9 verse 56. Luke chapter 9 verse 56. Jesus' mission is to save, is to seek and to save that which is lost. Luke 9 56. Glory to God. I'll read. Bible says, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. The Son of Man has not come to destroy, but to save. Jesus came for the purpose of saving humanity. And he does this saving by the remission of sins. John chapter 12 verse 47. Glory to God. John 12 47. Oh, hallelujah. John 12, 47, I'll read. Bible says, and if anyone hears my word and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. So he says, I have come to save the world. Hallelujah. That's the mandate of Jesus. That's his mission. That was why he came, to seek and to save. And I say again, that salvation happens only by the remission of sins. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Remember what I said yesterday, that when Bible says by his stripes we are healed, Bible is not talking about bodily healing. That scripture is not about bodily healing. It's about the salvation of our souls. Glory be to God. The salvation of our souls. Let me show you something in this particular chapter of the Bible. John 12, 37 to 40. John 12, 37 to 40. Bible says, but although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. The healing here is not about bodily healing, it's about the healing of their hearts. The healing of their hearts, of a condition of spiritual blindness. Hallelujah. So the healing here refers to salvation from a depraved spiritual condition. Hallelujah. From a state of depravity, a state of ignorance and darkness. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. And you see, that's the same thing you find at Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Hallelujah. Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. To heal the brokenhearted. This does not speak about bodily healing. It's talking about the healing of the hearts of men. The healing of the hearts of men from a spiritual condition, from depravity, from sin and darkness, from ignorance. Hallelujah. The healing of the hearts of men from unbelief. Healing. Glory to Jesus. And that's the mission of Jesus. Salvation. Which happens by the remission of sins. Let's look through a few scriptures and then do something very interesting. Everywhere we see the word save or saved, let's put the word forgive or forgiving. Hallelujah. Do you agree with this? Are you ready? So, everywhere we see the word save or saved, we put the word forgive or forgiving. Let's start with Acts chapter 2, verse 21. You see, it's going to make more sense to you now. Acts 2, 21. Glory be to Jesus. I'll read. Bible says, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So let's put forgiving. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be forgiven. Hallelujah. Because what you find in the name of Jesus is forgiveness. He says you shall name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. So the salvation is not salvation from just anything. It's not salvation from poverty. It's not salvation from being unintelligent. It's not salvation from not having business sense or not having fashion sense. Praise God. You see, the reason why a lot of people cannot rightly explain salvation, or they invite people to be saved and they are inviting them to all manner of things. If you receive Jesus today, you have a better marriage. If you receive Jesus today, your story will change. If you receive Jesus today, you will not fail your exams anymore. It's because they do not realize that that salvation is salvation from sins. And when it's about salvation from sins, it's about forgiveness and remission of sins. Hallelujah. You see, there's no way you can link remission of sins to having more money. There's no way you can link remission of sins to blasting all your exams. There's no way you can link remission of sins. But you see, the word saved or save can still be used in a very, very shallow way. You can use salvation to mean anything. It's just saved from anything. You are saved from disaster. We are saved from every mishap. We are saved from, you know, you can go on and be inserting everything you want, everything that suits your fancy. But you see, the moment you are able to explain salvation as remission of sins, it just nullifies and excludes every other thing. Hallelujah. It makes you see that, see, salvation is only from one thing. Salvation from sin. Hallelujah. From sin. So, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be forgiven. Hallelujah. Maybe to help you to begin to read your Bible this way, everywhere you find the word save or salvation or saved, you should be reading forgiveness as an undertone. Hallelujah. You should be reading forgiveness, remission of sins, because this is the salvation we have in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Acts 2:47. Acts 2:47. Bible says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved, those who were being forgiven. Hallelujah. Acts 4:12. Glory to God. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved, by which we must be forgiven. Neither is there forgiveness in any other. Hallelujah. That's how to read it. It's about forgiveness. Glory to Jesus. The salvation is forgiveness and remission of sins. Acts chapter 4 verse 12 can also be read as neither nor is there forgiveness in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be forgiven. Acts 16:30-31. Look at this now. Acts 16:30-31. Just insert forgiveness or forgiving in all these places. Acts 16:30-31. Glory to Jesus. Bible says, and he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be forgiven? So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved, you and your household. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be what? You'll be forgiven, you and your household. Hallelujah. You and your household. Romans chapter 10 verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You shall be saved means you shall be forgiven. Hallelujah. You shall be forgiven. you shall be forgiven. Romans chapter 10 verse 13. Romans 10, 13. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be forgiven. Glory be to Jesus. It's about forgiveness. Salvation is about remission of sins. Remission of sins is about salvation. They are one and the same. Look at 1 Corinthians 1, 18 to 21. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 to 21. Hallelujah. Bible says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. To us who are being forgiven, it is the power of God. For it is written, I'll destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? And where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. To do what? To save those who believe. And what is that salvation? Forgiveness. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to forgive those who believe. Hallelujah. To forgive those who believe. Don't forget Luke 24, 47. That repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. So this is what Paul refers to as the foolishness of preaching, which saves those who believe. So the salvation here is remission of sins. It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to forgive those who believe. Hallelujah. To forgive those who believe. Glory be to God. But you see, you can't do this with the Old Testament. You can't do this with the Old Testament books. You can't see salvation in the Old Testament and automatically just insert forgiveness. Because salvation in the Old Testament doesn't always mean forgiveness. And forgiveness in the Old Testament did not translate into forgiveness. Hallelujah. Or did not translate into salvation. Forgiveness in the law did not translate into salvation from sin. Glory be to Jesus. There was no salvation from sin in the Old Testament. It was a promise they were anticipating in Christ Jesus. So, but this is different. This is the New Testament, where forgiveness of sins or remission of sins is the same as salvation. Look at Titus chapter 3, verse 4 to 7. Titus 3, 4 to 7. Glory to Jesus. Titus chapter 3, verse 4 to 7. Bible says, but when the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The mercy of God speaks of remission of sins. The mercy of God speaks of forgiveness. Hallelujah. He says, according to his mercy, he saved us. We can put the word forgave. According to his mercy, he forgave us. Hallelujah. He forgave us according to his mercy. He forgave us according to his mercy. He forgave us according to his mercy. Through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Glory be to Jesus. So salvation is remission of sins. Remission of sins is salvation. The mercy of God speaks of forgiveness. Luke 1:72. Look at Luke chapter 1 verse 72. God's mercy in Christ Jesus speaks of his forgiveness. Forgiveness. Luke 1:72. Glory to Jesus. Luke chapter 1 verse 72. I'm trying to get there. Okay. Luke 1:72. Bible says, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. To perform the mercy. What is that mercy? And what is this holy covenant? Hebrews chapter 8 verse 10 to 12. Hebrews 8, 10 to 12. Glory to God. Bible says, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor and none his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Have you seen that the mercy of God is about the remission of sins? I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. The mercy that God has performed in Christ Jesus is the gift of the remission of sins. Hallelujah. And this is salvation. Remission of sins. This is salvation. Look at Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. Glory to Jesus. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. Bible says, therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let's come boldly to the throne of grace. Now, the writer of the book of Hebrews would always say, let us, let us, let us. But listen to this. It doesn't mean he's talking about everybody. And this is very important. When he says, let us come to the throne of grace, he's not referring to everybody. It is just a manner of speaking. Hallelujah. Why? Look at this place. I'll show you an example. The same chapter 4 of Hebrews 4, Hebrews chapter 4. Look at how he uses the word or the phrase, let us. Let us. Look at this. Hebrews chapter 4. From verse 1, therefore, since the promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said. So hold that on one hand. We who have believed do enter that rest. Those who have believed do enter that rest. So there's a distinction between those who have not believed, those who did not believe the gospel, and those who have believed. We who have believed do enter the rest. Hallelujah. But now look at verse 11. It says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. It's not referring to everybody, because he already says, those of us who believe have entered that rest. Hallelujah. For believing, we have entered the rest of God. I'm going to show you, look at what it says in verse 10. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. So the man that believes has entered the rest of God. He now says in verse 11, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. It's just a manner of speaking. He's talking to those who have not entered the rest of God. But he says, let us. Hallelujah. That's the same way he says in verse 16, let us therefore come to boldly to the throne of grace. Now, he's talking about the same set of people. Those who have entered the rest of God have come to the throne of grace and they have found the mercy of God. Those who are yet to believe are the ones who have not entered the rest of God. And these are the same people who have not come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. To enter into God's rest is to have come to the throne of grace. And you see, the mercy to be obtained when a man comes to the throne of grace is the rest of salvation. Hallelujah. And that salvation is the remission of sins. This mercy is about the remission of sins. Hallelujah. It's about the remission of sins. That's why verse 14 to 15 describes Jesus as the high priest, the great high priest. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What does the high priest do? The high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices for sin. You see, so to approach the throne of grace where Jesus is as the high priest is to approach the throne of grace to receive forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Because the work of the high priest is to offer sacrifices for sin. That's why chapter 5 begins on this note. Chapter 5 from verse 1, for every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. You see, the 4 connects with verse 16 of chapter 4. So he's saying, let us therefore come to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need, because every high priest taken from men is appointed for men in things taken from among men, is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Because we have a high priest, let us approach the throne of grace. Hallelujah. Let's approach the throne of grace. The mercy and the grace that is obtained from the high priest is remission of sins, is forgiveness of sins. Because the work of the high priest is for offering sacrifice for sin. Glory be to Jesus. Verse 2 says, he can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. That is the high priest under the law. Glory be to Jesus. But Jesus is described as the high priest of the new covenant. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. So, to obtain grace and find mercy, to find mercy and to obtain grace at the throne of grace speaks of coming to Jesus as the high priest of the new covenant in order to receive the remission of sins, which is the same as salvation. The throne of grace is the throne of salvation. Hallelujah. Speaks of the throne of salvation. And the man that believes has already obtained this mercy of God. Hallelujah. The man that believes the gospel has come to the throne of grace and has obtained the mercy that is available at the throne of grace, which is remission of sins and the salvation of our souls. Hallelujah. Which is remission of sins, even the salvation of our souls. Which is remission of sins, which is the salvation of our souls. He has found it. He has obtained it. He is not to come to the throne of grace. He already came. Hallelujah. And he has obtained that which is at the throne of grace, that which is made available by the mercy of God, which is the remission of sins. Glory to Jesus. So the man that is to come today is the sinner. Is the one to approach boldly on the grounds of Jesus' death and resurrection. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. The man that has believed the gospel has found this mercy of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. Bible says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Verse 10. Who once were not a people, but now are the people of God. Hallelujah. Who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Glory be to Jesus. The Christian is not to plead for mercy. He is not in need of mercy. He is not in search of mercy. He has obtained mercy for being a Christian, for being a child of God, for being born of the Spirit of Christ. You have obtained the mercy of God. That mercy of God is remission of sins, forgiveness by which your sins have been taken away, by which you've been delivered from the power of sin and from the wrath of God to come. Hallelujah. The man has been set free from damnation and condemnation and the judgment of sin. This is the mercy of God. He has found it. He has obtained it. Is to rejoice in the same. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. So, remission of sins, I'll say again as I close, is salvation. So, henceforth, you know, if you never thought about it this way, renew your mind. And henceforth, in this study, you should see us studying salvation. Anytime we say we are studying remission of sins and we are looking deeper and taking a closer look at the concept of remission of sins or forgiveness, the word salvation should come to your mind. Hallelujah. Salvation, because salvation is not different from remission of sins, and remission of sins is not separate from salvation. Salvation is remission of sins, and remission of sins is salvation. Hallelujah. So as we keep studying remission of sins, what are we studying? Salvation by faith in Christ Jesus. Glory be to God. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow. Let's come again together to have a great time in the Word of God. Talk about it. Invite somebody, and then let's come together for this feast of the Word of God happening in this place. Hallelujah. And have a great day, full of the word, full of the spirit, full of power, full of faith, full of spiritual songs. Share the gospel with somebody. Be a blessing to others. Hallelujah. And that's how to have a great day. See you in the next episode.